Hello and welcome everybody to Around the Battleground. My name is IHS and it is week 10 in the SPL, week 11 in the SML, I think is where we're at this point, because they're not lined up correctly. Last week was week 9. Now, you know, whatever. It causes great confusion for me sometimes, but here we are. We are literally just a month away from World. So everything is being funneled in and everything's leading up to the placement bracket of that leads into Worlds, because there's like so we get like the mini land before the big land. So it's a really exciting time because there's still so much volatility in the league. There's teams, you know, getting hot, there's teams getting cold, and you know, we still don't know the full quality of teams and what the field realistically is. There's still so much potential. And so my first thing is that I do want to talk about, I want to talk about the SPL, and I'll do that later, but with regards to the SML, this class of minor leaguers is by far the greatest group of players we've ever had playing non-SPL Smite. And I mean, some of that comes, yes, from the fact that we do have former pro league players coming down into the minor league. But that's only part of it. The players that are just in there from the minor league, who have been through the combine, who have been through the challenger circuit, who have been in the SML before, all of these players are really just stepping up and crushing it. You know, there hasn't been a year in my recollection where the minor league was this good to watch, you know, week in and week out. You know, usually, you know, we'd have your SPL would have the top, like the two bottom teams, right? Your Burrito, your Randozos, right? And they would struggle week in and week out, and those would, it'd be like an easy set of points for whoever played them in the SPL. But now, instead of being demoralized every week, and instead of being, you know, instead of going out every week in scrims and on the battlefield getting their asses kicked, you've got teams scrimming against, you know, players of their own skill, very good skill, mind you, getting better, and it's creating this just blast furnace of really good players. And especially now, because the quality has gone up with the pro league teams kind of being shrunk down, so you have that pro league talent coming down, so you have players who would have made a bottom roster last year, or people who just, you know, through bad luck of it all, aren't in the boys club that is the Smite community. You know, that still exists. You still have people like Mando Warrior is an interesting one to bring up, because I feel like he should have had a shot a while ago. You know, now that he's kind of moved around from solo to ADC and everything like that, like maybe that changes. And I think he's more along the lines of what Uzi is now. Uzi and Mando Warrior, I feel like have had very similar trajectories of where, you know, they at one moment were like, okay, these guys could be the next big solo laner, and then at the end of the day, for whatever reason, just didn't pan out. You know, got stuck on some bad teams and then never really had a chance to come out of that, you know. Whereas you've got Solo or Troll, who's been the final K route, where, you know, you do your grind, you do your time, and then you come out on the other side. You know, I remember back when Solo or Troll was just a meme with everybody else, you know, and he has risen above all of that. And it's, you know, the minor league for a long time, the challenger circuit and everything along that line has like been a meme, right? You know, it used to be on before the SPL. Nobody watched it. You know, now it has its own time and its own space to breathe. And I really feel like that's important. And so this is the best competitive year for non-professional Smite ever. And I mean, I think you could largely just say this is the best year of competitive Smite, period. But I think specifically, like, that does a disservice to what the minor league is accomplishing right now, and just how many viable teams on both sides we have who could potentially go to LAN and take games off of a pro league team. In both regions, there are three teams who could potentially come in and make some waves. And it's kind of crazy. You know, at the start of the year, you would have argued one or two from each region. Now there's, you know, it has solidly grown into that third slot, adding in the two teams to each region really helped it out a lot. And, you know, I really can't wait to see kind of what happens moving forward. You know, a large portion of my show has, you know, talked about what is possibly going to happen with the minor league moving forward. You know, it isn't as easy to monetize it, to sell it to sponsors, everything like that. From a business standpoint, the minor league isn't as appealing as the pro league. So what do you do? Do you get rid of it? Do you kind of bundle it together with the console league? I think having that second tier of competition is really good. And it has led to a bunch of players getting their shots. You know, it kind of weeds out, you know, who isn't quite ready, and really lets those who are rise to the top. Your Solo or Troll, your Paul, Sam for soccer. You know, those are all guys who have recently made the move, right? So I'm really excited to kind of see that kind of continue. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that make Smite unique. And I think the way that the Challenger Circuit and the Combine and the Minor League, how it's all been handled and kind of its skeleton, the, you know, feeding into the Pro League is really, you know, kind of important, even if it isn't the biggest, sexiest thing in the world. You know, I still think it's something that definitely needs to be kept around. And if that does mean adding in the Smite console league into it, which I think is also being criminally underrated, I think if you haven't been watching, at the very least watching NA console league, you've been missing out on some really good Smite. Both Hype Unit and Blanche Fan Club have been really exceptional teams. Obviously, the Hype Unit has had a lot of hype around them based off of what they were able to do at LAN. But I think that Blanche Fan Club is also going to be able to do some of the same things once they move over. You know, I've kind of seen them behind the scenes. I've seen that they have been scrimming other, you know, non-console league teams. They're scrimming the PC teams as well, just like Hype Unit is. And they are a really good, solid team. So the play-in bracket is going to be really, really interesting. And I know that interesting is always kind of my go-to word. I'm trying to break myself of it, and I'm like pointing it out now. And I know probably nobody else here has really heard me say it, but like I'm calling myself out on it so that I can stop. But the play-in bracket is going to have a lot of different narratives kind of operating all at the same time. And there's not really any definitive answer of who really comes out. You know, you have so many teams that are struggling in the SPL who are going to be going there. And then you have a bunch of teams that are really hungry from the console league and the minor league. There's going to be a lot of good competition. And I'm excited to see that. So we've covered the, the masturbatory nature of how great the, you know, SML is this year. So let's go on and look at what the standings are over in EU. You know, we've had a lot of fluctuation with this. Flashpoint was leading the pack for the longest time, but now Simplicity has taken a hold of that first place spot over Flashpoint. And Out Cold has actually come through, and they're making a run for LAN. Flashpoint has just not been able to get it done. They do this every year. We've pointed it out. they stumble. For whatever reason it is, if it's, you know, cockiness, if it's, you know, we just think we're better than you, they're getting locked out of scrims. Who knows? There's so many things of what it could be. But this Flashpoint roster is too talented to be dropping games the way they have been. They have lost to both Horizon Union and Exordium, I believe, now in consecutive weeks. And that just doesn't do. That's not okay. You can't do that. I'm excited to see how they come out. I'm nervous and excited. I really like Flashpoint as a roster. They are one of my favorite group of guys, the way they've stuck together for so long and everything. I really like that team. So I'm nervous, but I am excited to see how they come out, because this is a team that's not happy with how they're performing. So they're going to make changes, and I want to see what those changes are. How do they adapt to the meta? How do they, you know, shake the meta up? What are they going to do to, you know, pick up the wins again? Because if they don't, they're going to miss out on LAN. The biggest opportunity of this team's entire career together, you know, a shot to play at Worlds. That's going to be huge. They've put in enough time and deserve it. You know, Simplicity, you know, they stumbled last week. They had their L. They came back this week, won their game. You know, they're doing really well. Out Cold, you know, the team that Perennial could not put it together. Worst team in EU. You know, their talent they had are, you know, former world finalists. All right. But for whatever reason, just, you know, they had Demi on it too. So, you know, a world's winner, a two-time world champion on their roster, and they couldn't put it together. So I'm happy to see Out Cold finally, you know, figuring things out. Breeze, you know, Breeze is such a good story for Smite, and I want it to get more attention. For those of you who don't know, you know, Breeze came over to Smite from Heroes of the Storm, won Worlds with Fnatic in Heroes of the Storm, and came over to Smite after they shut down the Heroes of the Storm esports scene. So very cool to see somebody jump from another game into Smite. You know, you don't see a lot of movement between MOBA communities, right? At a competitive level, you don't see guys going from League to Dota or Dota to League. You don't see guys going from, you know, either of those going to Smite. You see it at like a low level, you know, a casual level, ranked level. You see guys who go from, you know, Dota or League to Smite and vice versa. And then, you know, when Paragon shut down, we had a bunch of Paragon players come in, and we had even, you know, there wasn't a competitive Paragon scene, but, you know, well, like professional esports scene. They did have like community tournaments, you know, back like Friday Night Smite or Smite Prime, you know, whatever. And some of those guys came over, and, you know, the only guy that I really remember sticking around for after a while was like T.O. Mikey. And then I don't even know where he's at anymore. So, Breeze is coming in here and, you know, doing an amazing job as a support player. Not the easiest position to pick up, right? So, you know, hats off to him. They've really come together. Spudio's looking great, you know, looking like one of the better ADCs in EU, maybe even the entire minor league. It'll be very exciting to see how EU kind of shakes up between, I think Simplicity absolutely finishes out and, you know, wins the rest of their games and they go to the placement round. Flashpoint and Out Cold will be a little bit more interesting. They're tied neck and neck. That'll come much more down to the wire. I believe Flashpoint have the tiebreaker over Out Cold, but I could be wrong. They might play again. So yeah, that's just gonna be exciting to watch. If I had to guess, you know, I want to say that Flashpoint will pull themselves together, but based off of literally every other competitive season these guys have had, the game last year, like, they had everything in the bag, then Ignis Signum came through and beat them out in the last bit. So, you know, I think we'll have Simplicity Now Cold, which is what we called from the start, but this is not the journey we expected for them to get there. So, I'm excited and interested in seeing how this whole scene plays out. Next up, we've got NASML, and just as competitive at the top, you know, we've got a three-team race, you know, going for that placement. We've got Hype Unit, who have finally been beaten. You know, Armada was able to take them down. You got Sanguine at 6-2. All three teams, 6-2, 6-2, 6-2. Very steep difference in NA than EU. You know, EU, you've got 6-2, 5-3, 5-3, 4-4, 3-5, and then Exordium at the bottom with 1-7. NA, on the other hand, 6-2, 6-2, 6-2, 3-5, 1-7. Risky behavior right around there in that 3-5, 1-7 range. Just because of, you know, they, in my mind, they probably should have inherited SSG's record. You know, kind of unfair to give them the spot and then, you know, potentially give them a free walk at LAN, but it looks like they are 100% you know, not going to get that run at LAN just because of how they've started off the season. So but Hype Unit finally gets their brakes pumped here. Armada kind of finally be like, all right, enough playing around, we're taking them out. We had a match between these two teams earlier in the season. Hype Unit rolled through them. Everybody was really surprised. Like, oh, Hype Unit's for real. Okay. You know, at the start of the year, I will say I did not believe Hype Unit would be the best team in NA. I thought that they would be much closer to the middle of the pack and maybe towards the bottom. Maybe above bottom. I thought they would be very solidly in the middle of the pack. But they've proven me wrong. This is a team that's playing lights out. I'm happy to say that I'm wrong. I love seeing Mala succeed. Hype Unit, if I hope they can keep this up, and you know, this is just a stumbling block, because I mean, the top three teams are so good in NA. Hype Unit, amazing team. Sanguine, amazing team. Armada, amazing team. All three of these teams could go to the placement round and potentially beat a pro league team. I think they could beat LG. I think that they would have a shot at beating Obey and SSG. And maybe if they played lights out, could beat SK. After that, it probably gets a little dicey and they'd have to really develop some sort of strat. But all three of these teams immensely talented and could really give any team a run for their money once they get to the placement bracket. Cryptic, Exilium, Risky Behavior, kind of just listing at the bottom. Exilium finding a new strategy that's working for them. They're putting Day on some pretty wild stuff. Exilium are the kings of, you know, throwing team fights and everything like that. So don't think we'll see them do much more unless they really, you know, crack down on that and finally figure out like, oh, we don't have to throw when we have the lead. That'll be great. Risky Behavior, I think they're just going to get outclassed in every game. I think Exilium is going to get a couple more wins just thanks to Risky Behavior being on the schedule. Cryptic in the same, but I think there's a very steep difference between, you know, the first three teams and then the bottom three teams. I want to talk more about the SML with NA, but I don't really feel like I can, just because it is so top heavy and we really don't know what comes next. I don't actually know the schedule either, so I don't even know what to talk about moving forward with these teams and how, you know, who matches up well. If I had to guess at this point, what we probably will see is Armada, Hype Unit. I think Sanwin, as unfortunate as it is, probably gets left out in that third place spot and doesn't get a shot at the placement round to, you know, show what they have, they will not be able to show you what they got. And that is very unfortunate for those guys. They've had an amazing season so far and really have opened up the, you know, the world of Smite a little bit more. You know, everybody looked at LATAMs as like really bad at Smite and everything like that. But then, you know, you have this group of guys come in and just really absolutely flip the script for everybody. And I think that's going to be, you know, hugely important going into like next year. You know, we might even see more LATAM players and that whole scene get a little bit of an upgrade just because of the Sanguine players playing from it. So that's it for our SML talk. Let's go and look at last week's games, week number 9. And the biggest story absolutely coming out of last week is what the hell happened to Dignitas? This is a team, the start of the year was amazing. It went on a huge run and then faltered towards the end. You know, got three, they had their winning streak, you know, ended by Renegades, and then Renegades went on to lose some games. And then they get, you know, they get first rounded at the LAN, and then they come back, and they just haven't looked well. They get 3-2'd by Obey, but then more importantly, they get 3-0'd by SK Gaming the next day. If you are a Dignitas fan, like, this is, the world is falling. Something is definitely wrong. Other games that happen, Splice 3-1's SK, you know, figured that would happen, and then Renegades beat Obey. We'll talk about each one of these games in a minute, but, you know, I really just want to focus on Dignitas at the start. You know, going into this week, you know, as we were talking about, you know, oh, Dignitas versus Obey, well, Obey had to go against Dignitas, and then Obey had to go against Renegades. You know, Hindu Man was calling it the Hell Week for Obey, and I was sitting there watching it, and like, you know, this is a trap game for Dig. Obey is looking, has been looking pretty good. And, you know, if things start to click as a whole team, they could really surprise Dig and take this W. You know, the common theme with Dig is that they do not play early game. They want to overpower you with finesse in the team fighting stage that they are just hands down better than you at. But that only works if you can come back. And they just were not able to come back against Obey. The biggest point for me in this Obey Dig set was, you know, going in the narrative was that Weaken has been carrying this team, and that the rest of the team has kind of let him down and haven't been carrying their weight to the what they should be able to. And there's an extent to that. That's true. You know, we've kind of said some of the same things on the show. The team finally, you know, really showed up in big ways. I will say, you know, I think I said this last show, but Mozwall made me eat my words. Mozwall has been a dominant force for this Obey roster. You know, they come out, they beat Dig now off the back of, you know, some really great games from Mozwall. Ducky has had some good games. This whole team for Obey looks different. They look more confident, they look more comfortable, and I think they're heating up at the right moments to really make a good run. Through the placement bracket, I think at this point it is impossible for them to qual to land direct to Worlds directly, so they will have to go through that play-in bracket. And I think if they keep up, you know, where they are right now, I think they really have a good shot at it. You know, we just had the patch happen today. That is basically the Worlds patch. You know, there's not going to be any giant changes unless something is completely broken. So this is the meta we're going to be in for Worlds. Invade meta or whatever, you know, people find out to be the better option. You know, I definitely do think we are in for a meta change somewhere. I just don't know what it'll be. It'll be exciting. It'll be,
interesting to see if we do end up with something super crazy at the placement round or world. You know, we've had stuff come out every LAN that nobody expected. And that's kind of like when Smite's at its best, right? When all of a sudden it's like, oh, why are they all of a sudden playing Jing Chen? Alma support's back. What happened there? You know, we've got all these crazy things that happen, and I think that's kind of where we're probably going to head, because that's where we always head, right? So why would this year be any different? So that's, you know, Obey Dig. Splice SK. SK didn't look the hottest. Splice looked really strong. You know, they have lost Baskin and replaced them with Solar Troll, so that is becoming a much more even trade. Obviously, Baskin, you know, is a mechanical god, but Solar Troll is filling in pretty nicely. I don't think you can say that he is holding this team back in any way. Splice, you know, looks really strong. I think they still suffer from, if you can shut down the side lanes and make Aurora, Ven, and Scream beat you, I still think that's the way to beat this team. I don't think they're immune to that, but I think they have a better shot at that happening right now. I think they have a better shot of winning those games if people are able to do that to them. They're looking just really strong. They've got a real good grasp of what the game is. And I expect that they will have another great run at LAN. I don't know if I favor them for winning it all, but I think they're going to be, they're definitely in the conversation for being able to win Worlds. The Obey Renegades game, it's a 3-0 for Renegades, but don't let that fool you. That 3-0 was hard fought. Obey, you know, didn't give up easily. They made Renegades earn it. Obey's looking really strong, but the better team did win out the day. So, you know, chin up, lads. You know, you watch that footage, you get a lot of good stuff to learn from, and you just, you know, move forward. Dignitas SK. This was the one that was surprising. Again, I felt like it was a trap game for Dignitas going into this week. SK is that team that just hasn't been able to transcend the middle of the pack. United was in that spot, and they are a top team in the SPL, in my opinion. They leapfrogged Dig, they leapfrogged PK, and especially leapfrogged PK now that they lost Zeros and are moving Deathwalker from solo to mid. Excuse me, sorry. And so, you know, PK is like very much a middle of the road team now, but Dig. I expected more from them. I expected them to be able to adapt better. And, you know, Neil and Sam and Paul all had great games in this set. You know, Neil is an absolute terror, one of the biggest menaces on the battlefield. What can you do? You got to find a way to not let him impact you as much. Again, Dignitas' biggest weakness is not being able to play the early game. They have to figure it out. They really struggle against teams who can play the early game and be really aggressive. You know, I think that just goes down to this being a mostly EU roster. They struggle against that NA. Just, we're going to press W at you, and that's all we can do. Then obviously, that's not all that SK can do or Obey, but it's what they're good at. It's what they're best at, you know, that aggressive styling. So I think until Dignitas can figure it out, I think Dignitas has fallen out of a top spot for me, and I don't think that they have much of a chance at, you know, doing anything at Worlds. I think they're looking at an early exit. I think, you know, where Biggie is stuck again with like, okay, what went wrong? Where do we go? How do we change this? Who is the problem here? You know, we were so dominant, now we're not. So they got to be able to figure out what's going wrong there. Looking at our standings for this week, we've got Rival at the top, Space Station Gaming at the bottom, Renegades, PK, E-United, Dignitas, along with Rival, all have qualified for High Res Expo. That's the Smite World Championships. they have an auto in. They do not have to go through that placement round. And so we're looking at the sixth spot as that auto qual in point. We're looking at Splice and possibly SK. I think more than likely it's going to be Splice here. I think that's a pretty safe bet at this point, unless something tragically goes wrong with Splice. But I don't think that happens. I think we very easily have Splice qualify for Worlds directly, and then we get SK Obey, LG, and Space Station Gaming all going to the placement rounds. That'll be really interesting to watch. I think SK has gotten really hot. Obey has gotten really hot. LG gotten really hot. SSG is not. There's out of all of those bottom teams, SSG have the least upside. So we'll see if they figure things out. They can put something together. But I believe that SK and Obey can make some decent waves in the placement round and maybe make it to Worlds. LG, I think they still have a little bit more work to do. They've looked good, but they haven't shown me that they have everything that it takes to make the same type of run. All right. Looking at our schedule for this week, we're going to go towards our predictions. We've got Luminosity versus PK, and this is going to be a big, big game for us, and we're going to talk about that one a lot. And then we've got a doubleheader, Rival SK, Rival Luminosity. So a pretty short week. We've only got the one game on Friday. Thursday action, though. Luminosity Gaming versus the newly reformed roster of Pittsburgh Knights. No more zeros in that mid lane. They have the former jungler from OCE, Roe, coming in as their solo laner. And they've got their solo laner, Deathwalker, coming in and moving to the mid lane. I have no idea how this is going to pan out. On paper, it doesn't sound great. You have a jungler who never played in the SPL as your solo laner, and you have your solo laner who's playing mid. Mid especially is really hard to get down. A lot of people struggle when they go to mid because there's so much that happens in that lane and in that role. You've got, you know, if you're in solo, all you got to worry about is the one lane entrance. You don't ever have to worry about everything from over here. Conversely, in the duo lane, you only have to worry about things coming from this way. With mid, you got to worry about both sides coming at you, blinks all around. It's just a really rough spot. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of buff timers. There's just a lot of stuff to contest. There's so much that goes into learning the mid lane. And even if you are a great mechanical player, getting into mid lane, it takes some getting used to, and you're going to miss some timers, and you're going to lose out on some farm, and you're going to get exploited, and you're going to be out of position. There's just things that all happen. Look at what happened to Lazbra. You know, look at what has happened to any number of people who switched to mid. Snoopy for a while. You had Andy, you know, he took the longest with his change. Baskin was pretty good, but, you know, there's been so many people who from the get-go have, you know, kind of struggled a little bit, but then kind of pulled it together. You know, Big Man comes to mind. You know, he's figured it out now, but he didn't have it all together when he first started. So that in and of itself is like a red flag for me with Pittsburgh Knights. You know, then you couple in that your soul laner has never played in the SPL. Yes, Roe was a good player. He was one of the best players in Australia in the OCE. If you have to make like a list of the best players, I think that Direwolves team is definitely the Hall of Fame of OCE, right? You know, is that a controversial statement? But, you know, bar giving a struggling NRG team, you know, a Spookin, they still lost. They lost to a struggling NRG team. Let's not forget that. never having played at that competitive level. Yes, he's been a coach. Yes, he's been in scrims. Yes, he plays ranked, I'm sure. All of this, right? That's not the same in any capacity. And you're moving him to soul lane, right? So what's the worst going to happen? Right now, with the picks that are over there, I mean, he's the Yorm, the Arthur, that you're dealing with a lot of aggressive solo lane picks. So are you going to put him on, you know, something safer? So you're going to concede pressure, which then you're conceding a lot out of that solo lane with Zhelia in this game. I don't like the changes, but I haven't seen Ro, right? This is all gut instinct. This is just how I'm reading the field. I very well could be wrong. I've been wrong in the past. I'll be wrong in the future. You know, it's just a part of, you know, being an analyst. Don't get me wrong. PK is still a strong roster. You've still got Vote. You still got Emilzy. You still got Adapting. You still have some very good players. You know, Deathwalker in mid is mitigated. I don't know if he's still going to be the same Deathwalker. LG, this isn't a free one for LG. But this is a really good chance to show how much they've grown, you know, what they have in the tank. And I think, you know, this is also a team that has had some really crazy out there strategies. You know, they've tried, they're not afraid to try stuff. And I think that'll, you know, that's going to be very helpful and useful against PK. You know, if I have strats that I had that, you know, I wouldn't use this against a regular team. Maybe I bring that out against PK and be like, okay, we could cheese win this. You know? If I had to bet money on this. No, I think I bet money on LG. The roster changes are too much for PK to overcome right now. LG is on the up. They're looking strong. I think this is going to be a long set because I think both sides are going to throw a few times. But I think LG should walk away with the win on this set. I think they're just looking strong, and PK is humbled. They're down on one knee. They are struggling. So I think Luminosity capitalizes them, takes the baseball bat, and finishes PK out. And we're going to see it. Oh, PK is in the same boat as SSG. They're just learning. They're just waiting to figure out what they can do and what the meta is going to be for when it matters later on in the season. You know, I was, you know, watching Esports Weekly. They said, you know, looking at their current roster with zeros, they could not win Worlds with that roster. So they had to make a change. Can they win Worlds with this roster? Would you make a change if you felt like you could or you couldn't? So the fact that they have made this change means they're comfortable with it, right? They want to win Worlds. This is a roster that was built together with the sole purpose of winning Worlds. Maybe there's something about Ro and Deathwalker that we don't know about, and they're going to be 10 times better than before. Exciting stuff to watch, but I still think LG pulls out the day. Rival versus SK. That'll also be a pretty interesting set. SK looking hot, coming off the win, the 3-0 of Dignitas. I think that, you know, they are at a disadvantage because Rival now has some tape on them. Like, it's a pretty high level team. Well, it should be a high level team. And can, you know, game plan and prep against them as needed. So that's not as great for them. But I don't know. SK, there's something about him. You never, which SK is going to show up? That is always the biggest question because you never really know. They just fluctuate so much from being, you know, world beaters into being kind of mediocre, middle of the road. And you can never tell which one's going to come. You know, Paul has his slow games. Sam has his slow games. You know, Zap has days where he just feels like feeding a little bit. I will say, I feel like the only one who I haven't been able to say that about kind of is Belair lately. But, you know, I'm sure Belair has done his fair share of stuff that I could talk about that's negative as well. If the best version of SK shows up, I think they can be rival here. I think the way that the meta is going, it could really give any team in the league a run for their money if the best version of this team shows up, right? You know, this is kind of the grudge match from last year where Trifecta, but the same roster, beat Rival at Worlds, right? And so Rival want to win this game. You know, they don't want to falter, but Rival has the room to falter, right? And as we're getting closer to Worlds, how much do you give to every game? You're already a shoe-in. You've got that automatic bid. So, you know, I've kind of toyed with this question a few times before on various shows. Like, how much do you value seeding? You know, if you're trying to break down what the bracket might look like, who are you trying to put yourself on one side or another? You never really know. If the best version of SK shows up and the best version of Rival shows up, Rival win this. Rival is the better team. But, you know, that rarely happens. We rarely have 100% on any given day here. I want to say that SK can win this game, but Rival is such a good team that I don't know that I can actively say that and mean it. I really like the way that they've been playing, and I think it's been really strong, and they're, you know, getting more consistent, but they still struggle with that consistency, right? They aren't a consistent team yet. They still have to win a couple more games for them to be a consistent world beater. Is this going to be the game where they finally break that inconsistency mold and put it all together? It very well could be. I think we're going to have great matchups. I don't think this is a 3-0 in either way. I think 3-1, maybe all five games. But, you know, I think this game has what it takes to go all five games. I don't believe either side can 3-0 the other. And unless bad SK shows up. The only way that SK get 3-0'd here is if bad SK show up. So, again, if I have to put money on this game, probably goes to Rival the way that they've been playing as a team, has just been really good. You know, the meta fits them just as well as it does SK. SK and this meta were a match made in heaven, though. So, you know, they get that +2 going into this fight. And that might be all the difference that they need going forward. And it might, you know, be what puts them over the top, over Rival, and, you know, keeps their, you know, their chances of qualifying directly to Worlds, you know, keeps that in the air. And then our last game of the day on Friday, Team Rival versus Luminosity. There's not really that much to discuss here. Rival is going to beat LG. LG might look good, you know, just as Obey got 3-0'd by Renegades, Rival probably 3-0's Luminosity, but Luminosity probably looks pretty good. And shows that they have, you know, they've got some stuff in the tank, and, you know, they're not a team that's just a pushover, right? So, should be a interesting week in regards to LGPK. It'll be a good Thursday at the very least. Friday will be a little bit of a stomp. We already know what's going to happen. But Thursday should be some good games and maybe some surprises. Could be a long day. I mean, both of these sets could go to five games. for very different reasons, right? LG is going to be a game of throws, where a rival SK is going to be much more calculated blows back and forth, more caution between the two teams playing each other, you know, not being able to just impose their will and then get, you know, wills imposed on them, right? So that's it for our predictions of next week. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on in the Smite community to talk about to close the show out. The only thing, I mean, there is the latest thing is the new god. We got all the information on that. It's going to be a guardian. Really excited to see how that plays out. The question I have is, I don't know, is the new god going to be playable at Worlds? That'll be, you know, interesting to see how they break that out. Because, you know, a month is going to be able to go through ranked. This isn't going to be the same patch. There's going to be minor changes, right? So, or is this the Worlds patch, right? I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to ask, you know, Pawn and all of them about it, because that'd be really cool. It'd be really hype. The new god for the first time ever playable at the placement round or at Worlds. They probably wouldn't do that one, right? You know, they probably wouldn't say, okay, you can now, you know, you're not playing at Worlds, but you couldn't play it before, you know, like the date or two before. So if I had to guess, probably not gonna be able to see the new god at Worlds. But, you know, that's not to say we're not gonna see some new picks come through at Worlds. I'm predicting this week in the SPL, we're going to see a lot more Amaterasu. Been seeing Ama a lot more in my ranked games. I've also been seeing a lot more Thanatos in my ranked games. So my ranked games are not, you know, the thing to really point as to what the meta is. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Thanatos with, you know, Heartseeker is the new meta. And all of these, you know, gold players are really, really onto something. I don't know. That's it for me. Thanks for watching, everybody. You can find us on Spotify, on YouTube, youtube.com/UGC events. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, you can probably find us there. Don't forget to, you know, like and subscribe if you're watching this on the YouTube. Drop a follow down on our Twitch and our Mixer. You know, just to support the show. We wouldn't be able to do it without your guys' support. So, you know, really show us all your deep passion and support. I love all of you guys. Until next time, I'll see you around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.